Tuesday, September 8, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:00 p.m.
All right, looks like it's time. We'll go ahead and stand and do pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I haven't heard from them.
Go ahead, do it. You know.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin is absent. Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. First thing we'll talk about is a tabled item. We have a tabled resolution with regards to the wind energy. We haven't made a final decision on that. Would you step up just for a minute, Joe?
Yeah.
When you guys redid the regulations to a recently, when you looked at them, and
yeah.
it made them a little bit more stringent.
It did, yes.
Than they were,
yeah.
And that's kind of what a number of other counties in Nebraska have used, or
yes.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of a template that you found.
Specifically, Stanton used it, and it just was the fact that the wind towers are getting so much bigger, and the bases are so large, and the propellers are so large, we felt we needed to revamp our current regulation to encompass all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've kind of talked about that a little bit, and then when we were talking about whether we want to do a moratorium or
mm-hmm.
we want to go with the more stringent. And I think that we won't decide that today, but I think we should probably decide that in the next month or so, because I don't think we should push that on to the next board.
Right.
So we'll have to appreciate your input on that,
yep.
Joe. And,
yep.
And we'll table it for today, but we're going to have to get that figured out in the not-too-distant future. So
okay.
The next board has to have to
yep.
worry about that. So thanks for the homework you've done on
you
all
bet.
That.
So there's somewhere we can get the distance and all that stuff from him?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll get that copy of that. So.
Okay.
Joe, was there anything in the regulations so far that would protect the county taxpayers as far as road maintenance? County road maintenance?
There's just a section in there that says there has to be an agreement with the county road department before they could get a permit to build towers. We didn't specifically state anything about the road department.
It's probably better that way, because then during the process they have to deal directly with the county, and then the county can put
right.
forth what they think that needs to go on during that. The county road department could make any rule they wanted then, if they'd have to agree to in order to move forward.
You got to get a permit.
Yeah, to even get the permit.
Yeah.
And there was distance and height and sound, all of that was included.
That's all included in the regulations we currently have now, yeah.
All right, so we're going to leave that tabled for now, and we'll move to public comment. So if there's anybody that wants to comment on anything that's not on the agenda today, now would be the time to step up and comment on it if there's anything that you'd like to talk about that we're not going to be discussing on today's agenda. All right, Bill, go ahead and step forward if you would. You bet, right on, yeah.
Some of you, Bill Hafke in Dakota City out at 627 Lake You Want to Drive. And Larry and Fred, and then I gave Marty a copy. I put a trail camera up out there, just to see what kind of traffic flow we had in our area. And anyway, I ran a count, and I'd like to say the three fellas that I gave the copy to, I ended up, which I have the dates, and if you looked at the computer, you could see the times and what the pictures were taken.
Tony, if you want
to. But anyway, from the 12th of July to the 3rd of August, there was 3 days in there missing. Other than that, there was an average daily vehicle were over 111. And out of that, that was not including any buses that would come out there for handling kids. So that would kick the number up a little bit. But anyway, there was 111.8. And then I took a count on the number of cars in traffic on 156th Street, which is directly west of Highway 110. And they averaged 44.9 vehicles a day. It was over, we had about 2.4 times more traffic on that east side on 156th Street. And with that, there was crushed blacktop on that road going west. Well, it isn't breaking down from the traffic. It's not breaking down like the crushed concrete is in our area. Where that is coming in, it's breaking down the crushed concrete to where it's nothing more than whatever made up the rocks, the crushed concrete in the first place. So it's more or less, it's just a powder that's being created. As you go down further to the east end of like you want to drive, why, of course, the rocks are hanging in there because there's so much less traffic on it. Let's see. I guess what I'm looking at, we have 15 homes on Like You Want to Drive, and the length of the road is 4,500 feet. And it's one way in, one way out. 156th Street, to the west, there's seven homes it looks like that's situated there, and the road is a mile long, and they have two ways of leaving their homes there, and most of the residents live primarily at the west end of that street. I guess what I'm just shooting for here, that I'd like to somehow we get something harder, a little that's going to hold up a little better than all, with all the traffic, and I think you'll find there might be some research out there, which I do not have with me, that shows that sometimes maybe harder surface might be a better way of handling that street because of so much traffic, and the fact is it's very short. Anyway, I guess I'm asking this, if Like You Want to Drive could be eligible for some crushed concrete, something that's going to hold up a little bit longer than what the crushed concrete's holding up. And if you got any questions for me, go ahead and ask me about it. But I do have where you can look every time and every date is on the pictures that I have on my computer.
I was running around this weekend and I ran into Bill out there, and he went in and he printed me a copy of all the information that he had gathered over the course of that month, all the vehicles in and out. So. I mean, that's a lot of work for you to step up and do, so that's that was nice to see. Also, if you're not familiar with that area, there are 15 homes. The driveways are very short. It's not like most places that have a 75 or a 90-foot setback, so many of the homes are very close to the road itself. So when you get the prevailing south wind and you during the summers, it's a very dusty area with that when the road is dusty like that. The county went out and did some work on that road this spring, did a great job on it, raised the road, put in some better drainage. So if that crush, I know that the crush blacktop that we put on the other side of the road was done by the contractor when they did that road work to the west of there. So I spent some time driving on that when I was talking to Bill that day, and it is amazing how much different it is as far as the amount of dust that comes off of that is not nearly what comes off of their road.
Yeah.
I didn't catch the Avery House.
Let's see.
There were 15.
Anyway, I don't think I mentioned that the amount of traffic on that other road, the average is 44.9, about 45 cars.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty consistent. The highest number that ever came off of there was 62 cars one day. The lowest number was around, was 35.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of where it is. Any other questions? Fine.
I have a question for Brett. What do you think of probably, if we put crash like that, what was it? What was going to cost us?
I put a millings down,
mm-hmm.
like there is on 156.
Right. What do you?
The problem with millings is that as it bonds together, it's asphalt, it's ground asphalt is what it is, so it returns to that asphalt base. There's no grading it afterwards.
Oh.
So if I get any potholes, anything, it's not gradable.
Oh, I understand.
Or an aggregate, crushed concrete, gravel. I talked to Mr. Hapke and I went out and looked at it. I noticed we have granite from the S-curves where no one lives, and I thought the amount of dust was pretty comparable to any of our aggregate roads, your crushed concrete.
But it is breaking down on those turns there, and that's because there's a lot of movement taking place with people going around the curves and whatnot. The Greg keeps the moving.
Actually, the vines will work into your base, and okay. If you talk to anybody that's trying to build a road, the vines in your base like that, it's too bad we haven't gotten a little bit more moisture to work them vines in.
Yeah.
But once that happens, that'll make a very good base.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
Dad, so you're saying if you use the... So what will we do down the road to the west when that road eventually needs work on it? You know, the road that we...
The only thing you can do there now is if you try and grade that, you'll flip up...
The bigger aggregate.
Yeah. Or the bigger rock underneath. So we'll use probably a product like from Newcastle or the stuff we've been getting from South Dakota with the clay in it. To level it.
If a guy put a little of the stuff with the clay in it that you have stockpiled out at the shed there.
Once you, with that fresh grade, once you establish a base, you can do that, yes.
Because now with the powder that's out there, of course now with rain, that's not the situation, so it'll be vastly improved. But if you put something with a little bit more of that clay in there, will that bind with some of that and help?
Yes.
Okay. So... So something that we can definitely look at in the not too distant future, because the road work they did out there turned out great. So if we can do something to cut that down, it'd be great a little bit. All right.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that. Anybody else got anything they want to add to anything that's not on the agenda? All right. We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from August 24th and approval of accounts payable, if applicable. There were no accounts payable today, so it would just be approval of the previous minutes from the 24th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from August 24th meeting.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah. All right, new business. The board to approve payroll claims from August 23rd through September 5th. I came in this morning and did go through all the payroll. Everything seemed to be in order.
So we'll do the set of payroll claims.
I second that.
Kevin?
Abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
So this time we're going to have a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations of the taxpayers relating to the 2020-2021 proposed county budget. So is there anybody here that would like to speak in support of the budget that's published in the journal or in our paper. There's also a copy there in the back. Anybody in opposition? Criticism? Anybody with suggestions with regard to that budget? Observations? All right. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and close the hearing with regard to the budget.
115.
The board to approve or not approve an increase in the base restricted funds by an additional 1% or $58,337.82 for a total increase in restricted funds in the amount of $207,099.25.
I'll make a motion to approve the increase in the base fund by an additional 1%.
Second it.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
The board to approve or disapprove resolution 20C-019 for the adoption and appropriations of the proposed 2020-2021 county budget.
I'll make a motion to approve 20C-019, adoption of the 2021 county budget.
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, we'll go ahead and have a public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations of taxpayers related to setting the final tax request at a different amount than the prior tax request year. So just for the new budget. Is there anybody who wants to speak in support of that? In opposition? Criticism? Suggestions or observations? All right, at that time, I'd go ahead and close the hearing.
118.
Board to approve or disapprove resolution 20C-020, setting the county property tax request at $6,897,992.89.
Make a motion to approve the resolution 20C-020 for the tax property money request. You give the number, so.
I'll second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, then we're going to have a public hearing for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to offer support, opposition, or make neutral comments regarding the request for a zoning change from ag to business from Anderson's Farm, Inc. And the legal description is there at the end of G there. So does anybody want to speak in support? Opposition? Or any neutral comments with regard to this motion? All right, we'll go ahead and close that hearing.
119.
The board to approve or disapprove the request for zoning change from ag to business for the proposed location. Again, the same legal description that we talked about previously. Homer area in Dakota County, Nebraska. A recommendation for approval was received from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So this had gone to Planning and Zoning prior to coming to us, and they reviewed it and felt like it would be a good idea to change it. So that's their recommendation to us.
All right. I'll make that motion to approve the request for the zoning change.
Second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yep. And we have Joe O'Neill, Planning and Zoning Director, requesting board direction regarding clarification of enforcement from zoning regulation 610-1, principal permit uses, number 6, feeding and raising of farm animals. Joe? Yeah, we just got it.
I visited, last June of 2019, Nikki, I don't want to mispronounce his name, but he lives at the farmstead, and he's raising farm animals right on the property line in the property at the farmsteads. And our regulations, 610-6 says they're feeding and raising of farm animals, including livestock, not to exceed a concentration of 2 animal units per acre. Farm animals and livestock shall be located no closer than 500 foot to the property line. Nikki was sent a letter with these regulations and told him he had to move back the livestock or the farm animals and to contain them. At the time that I visited the site, there was no containment of the chickens and ducks and basically fowls that he had. And since that time, he has added swine or pigs to, and the pigs are right on the property line. I've got a call from the neighbor complaining about the pigs being loose and causing damage to her yard. And I visited again several times. I tried visiting, tried calling, couldn't get through to him, never caught him home until Friday the 27th. He called me and wanted to know if he was allowed to cut the branches that were hanging over the property line, straight up from the property line, if that was allowable. And I, at that time, I told him I can't tell him it is or it isn't, because that's more of a civil issue, and that he should consult a attorney at that time. And then Saturday after that, I visited just to see if what he was going to do going forward, and he said, I'm going to put up a 8-foot privacy fence. And back in June of the previous year, I told him, I said, Nikki, if you work with your neighbor, put up a fence that will keep all these animals in and contained and off of her property line, I don't think there will be a problem going forward. Well, nothing's ever been done, and it's still not done to my knowledge. And we have sent a certified letter telling him that he's in violation, and he would have till September 22nd, I believe, to get the violation corrected. And after that date, I would visit, and if it's not corrected, he'd be notified again, and then he would have another 2 weeks to get it corrected. Well, when I went out there Saturday to talk to him about what he was going to do, I had several people surround me, kind of box my truck in. I couldn't get out if I wanted to. Not that I feared for anything. It just, they were upset. They were trying to tell me that they're not ag-residential, that they're agricultural, and it's not agricultural. You can see, I don't know if you can see on the zoning map, Farmsteads is right here in that light colored, and if you go down to the schedule down there, that's ag residential. So I felt that the zoning is correct. They were looking at the wrong zoning regulations, and that it needs to be stated that with the backing of the commissioners that the zoning is correct and the regulations are correct, and we need to proceed forward with trying to get him to move his animals 500 foot back. Now, they said, what if we don't have 500 foot? I said, well, appears to me you shouldn't be having livestock at all, especially not uncontained livestock. So it's just, it's kind of an issue with the neighbors, and there's several people that were upset at me, which is fine. I mean, that's part of the job, but you got to also remember that there's other residences in that area that need to be kind of rely on the county regulations that the right thing will get done.
So the people that you ran into the last time you were out there, were those were friends or family of this gentleman that were in support?
Appeared so.
Yeah.
And they were all along telling me, we're not ag-residential, we're agricultural. Well, back when the Farmsteads was started, that's the way it was. And at that time, every parcel had 7 acres and were kind of a starter for a farm, basically. That's the government started that back in Roosevelt. Which was fine. I mean, I had no problem with that, but that was way before our regulations were ever developed. And since that time, hardly any of those 7-acre plots still remain 7 acres. Several of them have been broken up, and more houses have been added. Started.
So this animal unit, so there's a, based on how much acres, what, how many animals you can have is what this,
correct,
these guidelines say, and where they can be.
The issue at that, when it first started, was none of them were contained.
Is a chicken or a pig each one animal unit?
No, there's a schedule
breakdown
in the regulations
stating how many
chickens it takes to make one animal unit.
I should look at the agriculture.
So the number of animals isn't the issue, it's the distance, is that kind of what?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
The distance and getting at somebody else's property, you know.
Yeah, the distance and uncontained.
Uncontained animals. Right, yeah. The property work.
And every time I visited, if I get out of the truck, I'm immediately surrounded by chickens and ducks and geese. They're wanting, I know they want fed. I mean, that's just the way an animal is.
Put it cheap on, just take them some corn.
I can only fit so much corn in my pockets.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that it is, you know, it's an ag residential site.
Yes.
And what we have here in front of us is pretty clear too, you know, on what the, so I would say that, you know, you'd have every right to go forward with the process that the building planning and zoning has.
Yeah. I put it's spelled out right in the regulations what steps were needed to take.
It sounds like you've been patient with them. It'd be nice if they would have, you know.
Yeah, we've given them every opportunity, I think. And on several occasions, I know the neighbors have talked to him, and he just really doesn't seem to take heed yet. I think he thinks he's in the country and can do whatever he wants, but that's just my guess.
Yeah. All right, I'd say, yeah, go ahead and go forward. And
okay, we will proceed.
Kim, if you send somebody a certified letter as part of a process and they don't sign for the letter, what happens then?
Got to find another way to serve it.
Okay.
Well, it's served up for
have somebody proof that he received.
Yep.
Okay.
But at the time when he called me about the cutting of the branches, I told him at that time, I said, okay, Nikki, you have 2 weeks to get this resolved. And that was Friday, I think, the 27th.
Okay. So then after those 2 weeks, you'll have to do a certified letter. Because we have to have it. Well, yeah, because we need a record that he received it.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't.
And to my knowledge, even today, I told him he had a certified letter in his mailbox, and he still hasn't picked it up.
Yeah.
So do you have this? Do they have copies of this information, these regulations?
I mean, I personally June of 19, I handed them those, and then again on Saturday, the neighbors, I handed them copies, and Nikki again.
And as far as requirements for fencing or chicken coop or whatever it is that spelled out in detail, or is it pretty much just this?
Well, there is not a requirement. It's got to be a good enough fence to contain whatever animals you're trying to do. I mean, goats are one thing and sheep.
But you can do what? They could do a chicken coop, they could do fencing, they could do.
At the time he's talking about a privacy fence, and if that's correct, installed correctly, I would think that would contain whatever animal.
In the county, can you do an 8-foot privacy fence? Right?
Yeah. As far as there's no regulation
on the height in the county.
But the 500-foot comes into play. What about that? Fenced or no fence, I mean, you got a fence, the 500 go away? 500-foot?
No, I mean, the fence has, the animals have to be 500 foot away from the nearest resident. Unless you can get an agreement with the best thing for everybody involved is the two neighbors get along and take care of it between themselves.
Because the way I see it, it's lucky to be 500 foot between the houses on either side of that of the existing house, of that place.
Yeah.
So you'd be
from,
down to
from where he has the chickens and the pigs, there's not a 500 foot. Now, I don't know, he could probably go backwards.
Well, if you go back 500 foot, then you're about, you know, like that with another 300 foot in the back.
I never measured it because I'm not sure where his property lines actually are. And I'm willing to work with him and try to get it to where. And then again, I mean, if he goes to the very back of his property and works with the neighbor, I think they can come to an agreeable solution to the whole problem. And keep them contained.
Right.
So I'll proceed according to our regulations. And
thanks for all your work.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
All right, next we're going to award the bid for paving project along Old Sawmill Road between Rotunda Way and Elgin Avenue, and along Elgin Avenue between Old Sawmill Road and Highway 20.
So last Thursday we opened bids for the Old Sawmill Road project. We did receive 3 bids. The project contained is a base bid, which was basically shouldering and earthwork and seeding, then an alternate for concrete paving, and an alternate for asphalt paving. Again, we received 3 bids. None of the bids None of the bidders submitted any asphalt paving bids, so they were all concrete paving. The low bidder was Steve Harris Construction of Homer, Nebraska. Base bid, total base bid plus alternate A was $405,824.28. And our recommendation would be to award to Steve Harris Construction.
And what kind of timeline is on that?
We had a completion, substantial completion date, which means open to traffic on by December 1st. Final completion by December 15th. And we, in the plan set, we instructed the contractor is to provide a plan to provide access to the three businesses that are out there. And upon award, we will get that plan from them.
What about the temporary setup there?
At this point, I guess we didn't address that. I guess that would be...
Have they ever been talked to?
I had contacted them prior to, just to see what their operation was kind of like. You know, they chose not to get plans or specs and bid the project. But I have not... I guess when I talked to them earlier, they had indicated that they thought this month of September they may be bringing some material out of there. And then they didn't know that there'd be much the rest of this year. But I guess there'll have to be some coordination if they want to use the road to get out of there.
Probably a good idea to communicate with them, you know, and make sure that you guys are at the same phase, you know.
Correct.
Yeah.
The sooner they know, probably the more apt they are to be able to
work around
that, what we got to do, and maybe even haul out of the Plant Sioux City.
Right, and there's, you know, if Harris is awarded, we can work with them, see what their schedule is. I'm assuming they would do, I don't know in which order, but they'll do Sawmill Road first and then Elgin. You know, while they're doing Old Sawmill Road portion, contractor would still have access from the other side. The issue becomes when they do the north-south piece, how do they get in and out of there? But, we'll have to kind of see what Harris's schedule is like also.
And then is there any kind of damages to the county if they're not done with the project by a certain date?
There is. I don't remember what the dollar. It's probably $400 or $500
a day.
Okay. But I don't remember what that is exactly.
Well, I'd make the recommendation then that we accept the bid from Steve Harris Construction for $405,824.28 for the paving of the Old Sawmill Road project.
Is there a recommendation or is your motion?
What's that? That's my motion.
It is your motion.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, Fred, you go ahead and step up and we'll run through the road report.
23rd through September 5th, 294 hours of road maintenance, debris removal 13 hours, projects, culvert on 120th Street, 122 hours, garbage pickup 3, mowing 5, gravel haul 200 tons, weed spraying 8 hours, sign repair 32, no calls on gravel mowing or grading road concerns.
Did the culvert project go pretty good?
Yeah.
About what you thought it'd be?
What it has is just the road kind of moved up and narrowed it over. Water had run down the hills through the pass and kind of washed out. We made the ditch a little better and moved the road back over to the top of the box culvert. Worked out good.
Were you able to just clean out some ditches to get material?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Took a little out of a minimum maintenance road, yeah, right up the hill.
So most of the summer projects are done. Did you get most of the summer projects done you needed done? And
yes.
Then we'll go back to the normal schedule.
Yes. 21st, we'll be going back to 8-hour days.
Okay. So ran out of Hubbard on M Avenue with the mud. The roads are pretty muddy from St. Evans to the bridge. Now I think it'd be the perfect time once we get past the rain, you know, and put some rock on there. We'll really work in good. You know, this is really muddy.
Yeah, you know, with as much dry weather as we've had, we got, you know, you get all that powder on top, first rain.
It's been muddy every time I drive there. When I go there at least a couple times a week.
Okay.
If it rains. I mean, we had a couple quarter inch rain falls that it still made it muddy, you know, so it wouldn't hurt to have a couple loads there.
Yeah, we'll put some aggregate in.
It's close to your rock pile, too.
Yeah, real close.
What road?
M. From the brick house south to the bridge. You know, on M Avenue there?
South of Hubbard.
Yeah, going south of Hubbard, yeah.
Okay. What I thought.
And then another thing, you know, up there by Berkeley's, on the Bluff Road, I went that way over that way this morning, a little before 8. And the water comes out there and sets on Bluff Road, on the edge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my tires are about wore out, but I was actually hydroplaning in that water. See, that, but I was going 35, probably.
We try and keep the course over the edges, get enough ground to it. What happens in time is the track's coming down the road.
Yeah.
Just the traffic.
Well, this is right in front of Berkeley's where the water comes out and sits on the pavement.
Yep.
See, the ditches, the shoulders are too high and won't let the water into the ditch. They really need to take a blade there and cut that shit out of there and haul it off. You know, not just push it out in the ditch and fill it up.
You're talking down there where they're, not where Milo lives, but down right at their building site down there.
Yeah, where Lux is taking dirt out of the hill.
Yes, sir.
Those driveways there, the one particular, the south driveway. I mean, where this building site is.
Yep.
And last year
it's actually sealed with the ditches up where the
right.
Shoulders.
And I don't even think there's culverts there or either. They're not open or something. And then last winter when I went by there, I came by there when the weather was kind of melting and the water ground on the road, and then it was icy. You know, some kids are going to get wiped out on that. Yeah, so enough of a curve that it's a right-hand curve. There's enough of one there that will put you into the other lane if you're going to slip. So it really needs to get cracked before winter. You know what I mean? It ain't that big a deal. They just think we're going to cut the shoulder down so the water get off the road. You know? So it'll work pretty easy.
All right, next we have Sheriff. Do you have the jail report? I know you have your man short.
The last one we have.
Okay.
Because Mark's out on medical.
Yep.
So that's due right now, and I'm sure he gets back next week.
Okay.
So we'll have that. I haven't been up in front of you in a while.
I know. That's kind of what we were saying.
Where is that?
Avoiding it.
I was waiting for Tony.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'll bet mine in there.
So this is going to be for July, and I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. You probably have, haven't you? So counties 45, federal 34, juvenile 0, in-house 76, 2020 calendar, average inmates per day, 56 county, 34 federal, 0.18 juvenile, 90 total in-house. 2019, 20 physical average. County is 65, federal is 36, juveniles 0.05, and a total of 101 in-house. Federal income of the month of June was $60,000. ICE was zero. Omaha, South Dakota, Marshal Service, $325. June federal altogether is $60,710. And fiscal for Marshals is $809,000. ICE, $63,000. Omaha, South Dakota, Marshals, $29,000. And fiscal, $902,000 so far. 2020 calendar. For federals, 417,000. June contracts, we got 1,445. And fiscal county contracts was 20,900 and some. We had another line here. Actually, I think it was the first month. I had him start putting the the phone commiss- in the commissary account, so it's higher than I thought. So April, we brought in $7,790 just on our commissary sales for telephones and the stuff we sell to the inmates. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
For a month.
Yeah, really good.
It makes you wonder how these guys are applying for
the program
public assistance when they're buying. Anyway, cost per inmate a day in the June was $8,169, and I think that was high because of the Corona stuff. It's costing us what?
Is that you?
Yes.
You know, I kept thinking that was me. It's not. Not
81, though. I mean, that's not as bad as it has been. So, or at times.
It's higher. Yeah. Yeah. But there's reasons for that. Jail spent $187 for the month of June. We're at 98% total estimated budget, 2% under so far this year, 2 months. It was at 100% total estimated year budget in June, which was the end of the bunch. We came in right nip-tucked there. Spent $39,900 less than allotted for June, so we're 17.5 under budget for the month. Sheriff's Office for June booking 16, South Sioux 18, NSP 5, self-turn-ins 32, Fed 7, and other 1. Other was 1. Dakota County 34, other Nebraska cities would be 21, Sioux City 15, Iowa 8, and other states 1, homeless 0, for a total of 79. Any questions? Concerns? So I got two other things that I'd like to discuss with you. Can I do the truck thing?
Mm-hmm.
So Tim's found 3 trucks, state bid. First time in years we've been able to buy all state bid. And with these, we're trying something new. We're going to try the new little 3-cylinder or 3.0 diesels. GM's offering those, and they're getting 34, 36 miles a gallon.
Nice.
And for us, all the highway driving we do, I think, I haven't checked in where to get diesel. Kellogg's telling me I can't use red diesel. I don't know why. It says if you can put plates on it, you can't put dye diesel in your trucks. Is that true?
Right. That's probably true.
Mm. Well, it is a lot cheaper.
But we would never.
Well, Fred said he tried it and he got in a little trouble from the state. It says if you can put plates on it, you can't put dye diesel in it. That's what he said. It's a good rule of thumb. If it can be plated, you can't use dye diesel.
We don't want to get arrested. You don't want to get arrested, Sheriff.
No, I get fined.
The state of the deal.
But the cost I save is less than the fine. I'm just saying. So I don't know where we're going to get diesel for these. It's a new thing we're trying. If they don't work out, then we won't do it again. We're just thinking that idle time, easier, they have better warranties. They're like $1,200 more.
Everybody sells diesel. 20 below
before you need to start plugging. Yeah, I know, but at no tax.
Oh, yeah, well, South Sioux has no diesel?
Yeah, they do. And that's probably where we'll go.
Well, I said that wrong. That's not road diesel.
No, that's not dye diesel. So I'm asking for approval for these 3 trucks.
Is this part of your budget already?
Yeah, we build these in to borrow the money in the budget. We kind of do it every. Keep them rotating. So
okay.
So they guarantee you they will start 20 below zero on diesel?
Tim says they will. What I read, they said they will. I know there's some folks out in Homer that drove the first years, and they love them. You know, these, I didn't want to get them the first year. I wanted to wait till the second year, and they made some improvements, and I haven't talked to anybody that didn't like them. I haven't seen them on the highway even.
I see. Okay.
And who's making them?
GM.
Nice. How fast will they go?
You know, they're right comparable to the 5.3s that we run right now.
98 they're, miles an hour.
Mine, well, top speed?
Mine of 102.
Your diesel?
No, it's a gas.
Yours, oh, don't you drive a Ford?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that fast in a Ford. But,
don't let that's why your tires are spinning on the road.
Yeah.
Not 35.
I wore out.
Be careful. I've had 2 Ford's tie rods break on me. One time I almost got Amy Backman. Anyway.
Well, I gotta stay off the county road.
So I guess I'm asking for approval for these
3 trucks.
Yep. I'd make a motion to approve that.
approval for three trucks, yeah.
You normally purchase trucks, this is just different, that's why you're bringing it to us.
Well, it's over $10,000.
If it's over $10,000.
Yeah.
Over a certain dollar amount to get approval, even though it's in this budget.
But if you didn't want it, last year, Bill said no, so you guys are bored, if you want to say no.
The only thing I'd say about these is they're higher maintenance cost, because of the dang on injectors and...
Warranty, though.
But you know what?
Five-year warranty.
You know what we're dealing, we've got Dodges now that don't even have 90,000 miles, and we're putting new motors in.
Well, I believe that.
We've got other Chevys, my truck, you know, I buy a Chevy truck, I drive it for 200,000-300,000 miles. My Chevy truck, I was transferring an inmate from Lincoln, and the transfer case just locked up, skidding down the runway. The exit ramp, just locked, completely locked up.
Shouldn't have been driving them so hard. Chasing that poor guy.
I can't argue with that.
Good idea.
He thought it was fun. Yeah.
Okay. Motion by Marty, second by Tony. Yep. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, now for the kind of long thing, I'll go as quick as I can. So, in talking with the marshals, and I spoke to Joan about this cap. So for this particular cap thing, this cap funding from the marshals is Cooperative Agreement Program. That's what this cap, CAP, stands for. And basically it's just, there's different types of caps from the government. There's different types of fundings. For this particular issue, the Iowa District, Brandon, the marshals that we house for, need more bed space. And I've been asked before, is there any way to get those guys to sign some kind of a contract that guarantees us that? Well, that's what this cap does. What has transpired in the last week and a half, is not just Sioux City. When they first brought this to me, and I talked to you about it, Marty, and mm-hmm. I'm sure I've talked to one or two of you about building the rest of the jail, the other 110 beds of the jail. Mm-hmm. The way we're sitting right now with 40-some inmates from the feds, we're doing excellent. If I go and borrow or somehow try to get money to build that rest of that jail, we're going to give away whatever revenue we're making. It wouldn't be worth it to do it, in my opinion. So I didn't take it any further, and I told Brandon that. Well, now he's got the Omaha District, Nebraska, that want to enter this CAPS agreement. So basically what that means is we could put a 105-bed jail addition on this and fill it up, keep the revenue we got now, plus get it paid for, guaranteed through the CAPS program. The downside to that is this particular program doesn't come up with the money first. We have to borrow the money. So right now, to build that jail, the architects are saying under $10 million as of today. If I bring the Omaha marshals in, they're twice the size of what we're dealing with now. So I would say we still wouldn't have enough room to house them all, but we would keep that full of paying marshals, that whole jail. We'd still keep our $1 million a year revenue or thereabouts with what we got now, plus we'd be adding more, which would be the payments to pay that jail off in 10 years. So I guess it's really short version of what it is, but to me, with those guys being involved, and South Dakota, we haven't been housing for them again. And you see on our jail reports that we've got South Dakota in there, and we do some stuff for Omaha, because they're driving all their inmates to Leavenworth, Kansas, and back 3 or 4 times a day, because they have no place to put them. Douglas County can't house them, Lancaster County can't house them. We would be housing for both. And that's not even counting any ICE inmates or any other contracts. That's just for the marshals. Now, the downside to that is we'd probably be transporting a lot more. So I'd need another guy or two to help transport, and probably a couple more jailers. I haven't put all the numbers in because I want to talk to you guys first and see what you felt about. I got to go back to Brandon with an answer about asking for the funding, the $10 million to build this, if they guarantee us the inmates to pay it back.
They'll sign that long of agreement?
Yeah.
A 10-year agreement?
They're desperate.
But the change administration, you know, if the opposing administration gets in, you won't even have a job.
There's always going to be federal inmates.
Well, yeah, they're going to get rid of all the police.
not the police.
Yeah.
You can defund the police, don't do the sheriff's office.
You can
get rid of all the city departments.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of the sheriff's office.
They might.
Who?
New administration.
The new board?
No.
Biden.
Presidential.
The new president of the United States, if he became elected.
Well, that's what the caps is.
Oh.
So the caps locks us into that.
So we build the jail for $10 million. Then they give us a check once it's done for the amount it costs us to build it.
No.
They guarantee us them bed spaces rented by their federal inmates.
But aren't you concerned about a new administration saying we ain't gonna lock them guys up, turn them loose?
We've got so many. That's what we came off of with the last administration, and we still needed bed space.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I see what he's saying. He's afraid that all of us, we're so under what they need for bed space right now. I mean, Kevin works over there, so he knows how desperate they are for bed space. And we've been that way since I've been here. It was that way when I was in Thurston County. The marshals didn't have any place to house people. Douglas County built a bigger jail. They got him in there. Now they're not housing. Everybody says Woodbury County. In my opinion, Woodbury County's jail isn't big enough for what they got. They're building a 450-bed jail. They got 280 now. They ain't going to be able to house what they need. Plus, Woodbury doesn't get the financial benefits that we do because in Iowa, the jails have to pay a tax on every bed space they rent. So they don't get the $65 a day. And I counted $65 a day because that's what we're getting now. But we're due for a per diem increase. There's some marshal areas that are paying $85 a day for bed space.
So they would guarantee the total amount or X number of prisoners?
They would guarantee what we've got right now, plus the Omaha guys.
Whether it be 100, whether enough to fill it or 50, or what, they're guaranteeing enough.
I could put in that caps 100 beds, they would guarantee it, and if they only had 3 inmates, they're still paying us for those 100 beds.
Okay, so we would...
No matter what happens with what he's saying, if the USA stop prosecuting and there is no more indictments or federal crimes, we'll still pay for that. So, like I said before, with using Sioux City, I didn't think it would be worth it because we'd be giving up what we're making in that jail now to make a loan payment. But with Omaha coming on board last week, I think it would be silly not to. We'd get the rest of our jail. And even if this caps runs out in 10 years and they built a 10,000-bed federal prison they're putting them all in, we're still going to need the extra jail. We can mothball it. You know, we can keep it there. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of excited me, and I thought, you know, I didn't want to do it last year. Then the corona stuff happened, and it's just like, why give up what we're doing? We're doing all right now.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Omaha guys coming on, man, that would get it built. Not to mention it would get the stuff that's broken our jail fixed, like the showers, because that was part of my deal with these kids. You come back and fix what you didn't fix first, and then we'll think about you building the rest.
What about if Omaha built big facility in the next 5 years? I mean, something huge. I mean, is that possible? Do we still get the guarantee from...
When we sign this CAPS guarantee, when you guys agree to this, if you agree to it, it's a done deal. They can't back out of it. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say can't. Government can do whatever they want.
Right.
Have they ever? I've never read anywhere. They've been doing this since the 80s, and I've never read anywhere where they've backed out of it.
So what's the timeline that they would expect them to be able to deliver prisoners here?
So
6 months? Or?
According to the architects, no. As soon as the doors open on that place, it would be full. That's how fast it would be. That's how desperate they are. Not to mention, last year, 2 years ago, they added like 4 or 5 new attorneys in Iowa, prosecutors. So they're not backing off. They're ramping up. But don't be concerned. You guys hear about Woodbury County Jail. That's not a concern to us. We're not even worried about that. They're already housing some of their guys.
Is there some place around here that has done this CAPS with them previously?
I know there is. I was looking for specific jails that did that, and I'm pretty sure that's how they did Hall County. But I can't guarantee. I don't know that. That sheriff that I knew that was there isn't there anymore.
What county sheriff? What county?
In Hall County.
Granted. Could you check with the gentleman that you know,
absolutely,
and just ask if we could have a reference so we could contact
call up and see how it works?
Yeah, just
I'm sure there's Because I know they're giving out more CAPS funding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where does that money come from?
Your
pocket.
State.
It's federal money. It's federal money.
That could dry up real quick if we started giving everybody free hospital insurance and free college.
It's all federal inmates. Be like if it's Anderson's cattle and he's housing them at your feedlot, you're just keeping them there. He's still taking care of all the expenses. That's the same way that the marshals do with us. The only thing they ask us is that when we transport them, it's two armed, certified law enforcement. I can't use jailers to transport. That's why I got transport.
Pretty scary to me.
Pretty scary.
Is there kind of a time frame on this, when they want to know the answer, when we...
I'm going to go back and tell him how you guys would feel. Now, with what I've explained to you, just on the surface, would that be something you would be willing to do? If I can guarantee you that that addition gets built with revenue that we're not getting right now, with outside revenue, and it's to the end of that payment, would you be willing to borrow that $10 million?
I think we need to talk to a bond company.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That wouldn't be bonded, it'd be just borrowed money?
Yeah, that's your guys' sandbox. I don't quite know how all that. To me, it's borrowed. I know that the interest rate now is under 1%.
And there's statutes that regulate how much we can borrow. We have to
look into all those.
Because we've already borrowed for the bridges and the FEMA stuff.
Oh, so you're thinking your credit limit might be...
Oh, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
There's statutes that regulate.
The plastic might get worn or a little bendy, maybe?
So 10 million?
Well, that's what they came back...
For 105 beds.
Well, it's give or... It just depends on how we split it up. That's what the architects were telling me a couple months ago.
Okay.
So under 10 million, right now, with the prices the way they are. And that's only because this jail is built just to add that. It was supposed to be on there. And then they done all the dirt work and everything under there, so they put in foundations and set it up. And
we've got that other one paid off. The last time we looked at phase two, we did not have phase one paid off, and we did not have all of C Avenue paid off. And then there was, I think there was a USDA loan. USDA wanted to...
It was through loans.
Through USDA loan for $10 million. I'll try to do some research.
Yeah, Joan, and I just got to let Brandon know if it's something that I could cover, like I'm saying right now, with no other issues, I think it's a no-brainer. But that's me. You're the board.
Mm-hmm. I think if we could talk to a couple of people that have gone through the process, and if we talk and it's a possibility that the county could borrow the money, then I think we'd to have that discussion, you know.
And have them guarantee us the beds till it's paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
Mm-hmm. And we would have to have some really sound legal advice that would be a binding situation before you would.
And medical and stuff like that is included. They pay for that.
We're looking at just what we're doing right now,
okay.
Ms. Gill. All the bed space we rent, we don't take care of that.
Okay.
That's all up to whoever's renting that bed space from.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. It might be a lot of inmates, but you know as well as I do, the cost of a jail isn't housing the inmates. It's paying for their medical problems. And I looked into going longer term with ICE. I shy away from the BIA, and I shy away from ICE. Just, it's so doggone political, and especially with ICE. I mean, there's hoops and stuff you got to jump through that just is beyond what it's worth. And I think they do that on purpose. Now, we do short-term ICE. We'll house for up to 6 days. And we do a lot of transporting of ICE. We get paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I want to be long-term ICE.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's too big of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I can call Brandon, who's the supervisor for this district, isn't he?
I think there's two things that the chair just mentioned, that you know that we have to look the county to see where we stand as far as borrowing that $10 million, you know, if it is visible to the county. And number two, get information from the other counties, you know, they can do this deal and go from there. And if it is...
Sheriff, if at our next meeting in 2 weeks, if you give me a few names and I can kind of track some of that down,
I'll find some people. I'll just ask.
Yeah,
Yeah, just if you could give me some information, and would that be soon enough if in the next couple of weeks, then we can kind of tell them that it's something that we would...
So here's what the pressure Brandon's under. Mm-hmm. So he's got DC calling him saying, hey, we got all this money sitting here. We got to do something with it. Mm-hmm. That was from the last stimulus package.
Yeah.
For Coronas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sitting there. They got to spend it. So he's like, whoa, I've never had that call before. Can you do this? Can you find mm-hmm. out if...
Yeah.
So that's kind of lit a fire into me, especially when he brought up Omaha. Because
mm-hmm.
honestly, I don't think it would be worth it for what we're doing right now.
Yeah. And he's the supervisor over the Omaha area now?
No, he's supervisor in Iowa. That's who we're housing for right
okay.
now.
Okay, but the connection with the Iowa.
And actually, we're not even in the Iowa district. We're actually in the Nebraska district, and we house for Iowa. And I talked to our senators, Sass and the female.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, met with them last winter about this. And that was before the Corona stuff. And they're like, yeah, we'll help you. We'll put in a word for you, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be lobbying this year. I don't think I'm going to go out there. My doc said I blew my back out in the state. Don't move for 2 weeks. So I was taking vacation this week.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Well, every day I got stuff to do. It's not like I take vacation. I just can't tell anyone I'm up and running around. I said, don't give me pain pills if you don't want me to run around. When it doesn't hurt, I run around.
Chris, does Dixon County have a jail?
Yeah. Very small.
Mm-hmm. What about food?
Yes. They just built one. I think it's 38 beds.
Yeah.
Well, this deal was such a big, good deal. Why wouldn't them guys build a big, big deal?
Because when you don't have manpower,
they got the money, though, up there in Dixon County. They got more money than we got.
They do, but I don't think Dean nor Donnie's really into messing with this stuff. I'm doing it because we need the revenue in this county. Otherwise, I wouldn't. It's a hassle. It's a pain in the butt dealing with federal inmates. I mean, county inmates are one thing. Federal inmates, a lot of these guys are looking at life. They got nothing to lose. And I just look at them different. They're...
Mm.
You know, when you got a man that has nothing to lose, they're a little more dangerous than a guy that's going to do 6 months or something like that in a county jail. So a lot of sheriffs don't want to mess with that stuff. And besides that, they're clear out there.
Well, Dixon County is houses with us. They got people they don't want to deal with. They house with us.
And they
just kicked around shutting their jail down if we build.
Actually, if they do, they're grandfathered. If they have one night without inmates in there, they're automatically shut down. They'll have to house with us.
They'll really have a light workload then, wouldn't they?
They've got six prisoners, maybe?
Yeah, they don't. If they get anybody ornery, as a matter of fact, this last guy that was sentenced this week, we had him from Dixon County. They couldn't handle him. He was beating up all the inmates. That was years ago. That was before I took other jail over. We had to house him up here for them. We house for them guys when they get someone bad. But we don't really have issues.
Let's do that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Did I talk enough?
Yeah. No, that's good. So you do some homework and then...
I'll find some Cass County.
I'll get a hold of you in a few days and we'll move it forward.
Thank you.
Very well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've made my opinion known. I think it's a good idea. I think it's smart business-wise. You know, we get a jail built and paid for
mm-hmm.
that we are eventually going to need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our numbers are down now, but...
You'd hope you would never need it, but the reality is it always goes up.
You know, we've had 130 county inmates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. that's not unusual. We've been topped out here without federal inmates.
Yeah.
That's why we had to get rid of them. That, you know,
yeah.
we run that risk again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather have something paid for by somebody else
mm-hmm.
the county can have mm-hmm. than us have to incur this expense later mm-hmm. on down the line that the taxpayers are all going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we spoke to one of the engineers, they were talking about a 15% cost increase yearly. Is what you're going to look at?
Yeah.
They're talking. You know, you wait 2 years
mm-hmm.
to be over $12 million to build it.
No,
capacity.
100 and it was around 110, 118 or 100. 30, I thought they told us somewhere right in there.
A little over 100, between 100 and 150.
Yeah. I mean,
depending, that all, Ms. Gill, that all depends on what we put in there. We're so tight with the way we're at. We're all sharing offices and stuff, so another office or two. Or we make it all bed space. I haven't quite, haven't got to that stage. I need to find out if you guys are on board with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, next we have Sarah Deck, Juvenile Diversion Coordinator, requesting approval for the chair to sign the Alternatives to Detention Grant 20-EB-0613, award of $50,000, and a special conditions binding the grant award.
Yep, so I'm just here to request that you sign that. We had initially requested these enhancement grant dollars for additional alternatives to detention, the electronic monitoring and the tracking, as well as the mobile youth crisis response team for Heartland Counseling. The Crime Commission only approved the dollars for the alternatives to detention. They did say it would be possible going forward to fund at least part of that mobile youth crisis response, but they have not yet funded that. I think outside of Lancaster County, they've done some funding, and they really want to define the service and what they would be paying for before they set a precedent and started paying for mobile youth crisis response teams. Those have all been funded through, I think, a federal block grant, and that block grant's going away in October, and so they're the organizations that have been paying for those are looking for new ways to pay for those, and so I can understand the Crime Commission's kind of perspective, and they don't want to be the band-aid for that, because that is it's a very worthwhile service, but mm-hmm. it also is quite expensive.
So. I know the crisis response team mm-hmm. with regard to the adults in this community mm-hmm. made a tremendous difference in the amount of people that have been emergency committed.
Absolutely, and it does the same thing for youth. It also helps out law enforcement, so law enforcement isn't having to do mental health counseling, because that's not what they're
and the transporting and so on and so forth,
all of that stuff, and trying to get people to hospitals and things like that. So that's all.
Well, I make a motion to have the chair sign the detention agreement grant 20-EB-0613.
$50,000.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, sir.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
The board to review and certify each office's notarized inventory statement of all county personal property in possession of that office as valid and file them in the county clerk's office. So each of the departments go through each year and do an inventory of everything that they currently have in their inventory.
I went through everybody's inventory, and every inventory balance sheet balanced to everyone's inventory after a few corrections. Most of them were okay, but a few need. I have a couple signatures I need on inventory balance sheets, and there was no changes, but there was a balance sheet signed, and that's what the auditors look at, it to see what the changes were. So they all look everything accounted for and balanced. And,
okay. Very good.
I'll make a motion to certify that those inventory statements of property for each of the offices.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Yes.
And then we have approved chair to sign a letter of support to Siouxland Interstate Metropolitan Planning Council, SIMCO, application to Nebraska Investment Finance Authority, NIFA, for a housing study grant for the improving housing conditions in Dakota County. So just SIMCO wants to do some work, and we're just putting a letter of support in.
Okay. All right, I'll make a motion for the chair to approve that letter.
Second it.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Mark?
Yep. Any commissioner committee reports?
went to a simple meeting the other day.
Oh, good.
First. Well, you don't vote my name on that paper. I better go this time or else. But anyway, that was pretty interesting. You know, there's some good things going on.
I told you that.
Why didn't you go with me?
No.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I did find out tonight River was going to actually work at nights, and they're going to do, we were doing working on Riverside, Boulevard, and 20.
Okay.
And they were out, they milled off some there last, they hauled in a bunch of milling from somewhere. I'm sure it's someplace like that.
On 20?
Last night.
On 20 on our side or on the other?
They said they had to close the ramp, some of them, so they were going to do them during the night.
Okay.
It was
the Iowa side.
Iowa side through the Nebraska.
And they were going to quit at 6 in the morning for the people to get to work.
Okay. Well, that'd be good.
So it sounds like it really, from what he said, it'll probably be on the news anyway, but they were going forward, and the 75 is supposed to be done going out to Hinton. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be done here this year. Yeah,
that's optimistic.
Yeah, I know, but he said that.
So that hot plant's going to be providing for that, huh?
For 20, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Of course, that'll be paving on 75 North
mm-hmm.
from Mars. But and then I got a feeling down the downtown plant will probably haul the Riverside. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Simcoe's always looking for board members, Larry, so yeah. You might be able to slide right in there.
I'm going to have to pay more attention to it. It wasn't as boring as I thought it was going to be.
Well, very good.
The NCRD, the regional Northeast Nebraska, they are doing a household hazardous waste collection in tender this Saturday from 9 to noon. So you get household hazardous waste, you can take it.
Like that, TVs and stuff?
Computers? No, it's like paint, pesticides.
Herbicide.
Yeah, that's an e-collection. They'll have one of those probably, too, in the spring, an e-collection. I'll let you know about that.
My wife's got three old TVs around. She can't give them away to nobody.
No, you can't. You always have to take them in for recycling.
Yeah.
Target practice.
Any mail or emergency business?
The only mail we have is anybody wants to serve on the Simcoe board.
No, I'm done with the politics. I'm totally
done. You're not done until the first year.
First year, yeah.
It's a 4-year commitment. So that would be Larry.
She likes that stuff.
I already got three other ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. One more won't hurt me. You retire now, so you got plenty of time. but I got to build a house, work on that stuff. I got to help the taxpayers. You know. The one we just built, that's another $6 into the budget. See, and this next one's going to be about $6.
All right.
I'm working for the taxpayers.
We'll go ahead and adjourn then.
Thank you.
Hey Larry, is that new hole there on the backside? Are you building that one?
Yeah.
Are you? Good.
That's totally the other one.
Yeah, I met that gal. I was out there doing a little politicking, and I met the gal about your last house.
Oh,
that
was.
Yeah.